Ina, Shamir says there's a lot of background noise. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, good evening, everyone. I would like to discuss a few more halachos in the sugya, in the inyan we've been learning, which is the inyan of Bishul on Shabbos. The first halacha is the following, that we've discussed that in order for a liquid such as water to be considered cooked, one would have to bring it to a temperature of Yad Soledisbo, which we said is minimally 110 degrees. Less than that, it's not called cooked. So one is allowed on Shabbos to take cold water, which has never been cooked, and put it in a place which is near a source of heat, not directly on a stovetop or anything like that, because then you run into the problems of putting on something on a stovetop without proper, without following the proper rules. But putting it near, let's say, by a radiator, if you have such a thing in a cold climate, or if you have, or a fireplace, or if you have some other source of heat in your house, which you could put water next to, and the water will become warmed up from it, as long as that water is in a place where it for sure could not get to Yad Soledisbo. Even if you left it there a whole Shabbos, it would never reach Yad Soledisbo. Or for example, let's say on top of a pot, you have a chalent pot on the stove, or in a crock pot, you have full of chalent or whatever it may be. So you're allowed to take something, even something that was not on the stovetop, you're allowed to take that and put it on top of the pot of food to warm it up. But if it's a liquid, you can't do that if it's going to get to Yad Soledisbo. But let's say it won't. Let's say the fire underneath the pot is not so high, or your crock pot is on low, whatever it is. And you know from experience that if you take this container of water and you put it on top of the crock pot, even if it sits there a whole day, it will never get to Yad Soledisbo. You're allowed to do that. But that's not Bishul. As long as it will not get to 110 degrees, that's not Bishul. You're allowed to do that. What happens if it could get to Yad Soledisbo, but you say, you know what, I won't let it. I'll take it off. I'll put it there just for 10 minutes. I know it could get to Yad Soledisbo, but it's going to take a good 20 minutes, 25 minutes at least. So I'll leave it there for 5 or 10 minutes just to get it a little bit warm, to take off the chill, and I'll take it away. I'll make sure it doesn't get to Yad Soledisbo. That you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to put it in a place close enough to a fire or to a heat source where it could get to Yad Soledisbo, even if you have every intention of taking it away before that happens. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach adds, even if the crock pot, let's say, is on a timer, and there's only 10 minutes left before the crock pot is going to turn off, so I'll put the water there, there's no way it could get to Yad Soledisbo, because I'll make sure to take it off after 10 minutes, but even if I forget, the timer is going to turn off the crock pot, it will not get to Yad Soledisbo. The halacha is no. If it's possible, if by leaving it there long enough, it would get, meaning if it's close enough to a fire that right now the feed the matzah that I set up, it could theoretically, it could potentially get the Yad Soledisbo, then I'm not allowed to do it. But only if it couldn't get there, if I left it forever, it couldn't get there, then I'd be allowed to put it there just to warm it up a little bit. Okay. Now, let's say somebody wants some food cooked on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to. That's one takeaway from the past 2 weeks. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Okay. So what happens though if there's a non-Jew who's in your house, or a non-Jew who's available to help you out? Could you ask them to cook the food for you on Shabbos? So the answer is typically no. If we're talking about a regular situation, healthy people, there's no chole chas v'shalom, then no, you're not allowed to. You know, a healthy person who's not a chole is not allowed to have a non-Jew cook for him on Shabbos. Now, but however, what happens if it's almost Shabbos, meaning it's after Shkia, the sun has set, but it's not Seis HaKochavim yet. It's not dark, meaning it's not for sure Shabbos. It's in what we call Bein HaShmashos. It's in a period of time which is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. It might still be Friday. It might be Shabbos. We treat it as Shabbos. Once we light candles, we don't do any malach at all. We light candles even before Shkia, but even certainly by Shkia, even if a person who didn't light candles, certainly by Shkia, absolutely no malacha could be done at all. But that's no malacha de oraisa. But a derabbanon l'tzorech mitzvah, you could do bein hashmashos. A derabbanon l'tzorech mitzvah, or certainly asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you for a reasonable a proper tzorech, such as a tzorech mitzvah, you could do. So let's say you forgot to plug in your crock pot, and you noticed after Shkia, and you have a crock pot full of food, but it's going to be worthless because it's not plugged in. Or you forgot to turn the fire under the stove, whatever. You forgot to put the pot on the stove, on the blech. And it's already after Shkia, so you can't do it. But you could ask a non-Jew to do it for you. From the perspective of Hilchos Shabbos, you could ask a non-Jew because it's Bein HaShmashos. And Bein HaShmashos, you could still ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you for a tzorech mitzvah. But there's one big consideration here. What status is your chant in now? If your chant is raw, if it's not cooked at all, or it's not even a third cooked, then you have another problem. It might be permissible mitzvah malacha Shabbos, but if you have the non-Jew do it for you, it's going to be bishul akum. If the non-Jew is going to plug in your crock pot, or if the non-Jew is going to go over to your stovetop and turn on the stovetop underneath the pot, and cook it for you, then it's going to be called bishul akum. So it's not going to help you. Not only won't you have resolved your problem that now you have food for Shabbos, no, now you have a tray for pot. Besides the fact that the food itself is tray, but even the pot would have to be kosher. So maybe a topic for a different time. But okay, so then you can't do it. But let's say your chunk is cooked. You just, but it's cold. It's cooked, but now you transfer it to the crock pot and you forgot to plug it in. So by tomorrow, it's going to be ice cold. Even if you have to put in the refrigerator, or if you leave it out, it'll be spoiled. It's not going to be worth eating. So, but it's cooked already. Or it's Michael Mendru's soy. It's partially cooked. Once it's partially cooked by a Jew to Michael Ben Jusai, then it's okay for a non-Jew to finish off the cooking. So then you could ask the guy, Bein HaShmashos, only Bein HaShmashos. You could ask the non-Jew to plug in your crock pot or to put it on the fire. Or let's say you lit the fire. You lit the fire, you just didn't put the pot on. So for an Ashkenazic Jew, that's okay also. That's not Bishul Akum. If the Jew lit the fire, even if the guy puts it on. The Sfaradim have to consult with their Rav whether they could rely on that or not. But for an Ashkenazi Jew, that would be okay. Okay, but now let's clarify. We said Bein HaShmashos. So how late is that? Meaning, how long after Shkia could you rely on this heter? So it depends where you live. If you, I'll start with New York, Chicago, because that's what we have at least in print for Moshe Feinstein. If you live in that area in New York or Chicago, which are similar in terms of the length of Bein HaShmashos, so you could be mekel for sure up to a half hour after Shkia, and even one place for Moshe is up to 40 minutes after Shkia to have a non-Jew, not a Jew, chas v'shalom. If you didn't plug in your crock pot and there's no non-Jew to help you, only Jews around, you can't do it even 1 second after Shkia. But if there's a non-Jew to do it for you, up to 30 or even 40 minutes in New York, Chicago. In Miami, it's much less, because Miami, it gets dark here much quicker. I would say certainly after 20, I would say up to 20 minutes. Up to 20 minutes, you could do it. More than that, we'll have to maybe leave for another time to figure out if one could be made. But up to 20 minutes, you would have this heter of having a non-Jew plug in the crock pot, assuming, as I said, the food is already cooked, or at least partially cooked, and you could eat it then. Now, I just want to clarify something I alluded to before. If chas v'shalom there's a chole, someone in the house is ill and needs food, it's the middle of Shabbat, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're sick, they're not dying, no sakana, it's not a chole sheyesh bo sakana, the person has the flu, and they feel really schwach, really bad, they're coughing, and they're bedridden, and they might maybe have fever, and they're, you know, not a high fever, but that is sakana chas v'shalom, but they're really feeling very, very bad, and they would love to have a hot tea, or a hot chicken soup, or something like that. So then you could ask a guy. For a chola, you could ask a guy to make hot food on Shabbos, the middle of Shabbos, to cook food, to cook water, or to cook chicken soup. And here, you don't even have the concern of Bishul Akum, because for a chola on Shabbos, Bishul Akum is mutter. For a chola on Shabbos, since a Jew can't cook for the chola needs food. Again, he's not going to die without it, but he feels very, very sick. He's not feeling well at all. He's bedridden, etc. So for a you can ask, since a Jew can't cook for him, since there's no sakana, then you could have a guy cook for him, even if he's cooking raw food. He's cooking a piece of raw chicken and making some chicken soup, or even giving him the chicken itself. It's mutter. What's the status of that food after Shabbos? Once it was mutter on Shabbos, is it still mutter after Shabbos? Or do we say no? Now after Shabbos, because Jews can cook, so you can't use it. And even though a guy cooked it, you know, in a permissible fashion, you can't eat it anymore. That's a shaila in the poskim, which we'll leave. You could have after Shabbos. You could already make a phone call and ask a rav if you could use the leftovers, or if you have to kasha the pot that the guy used or not. But on Shabbos itself, the chola could eat it. Only the chola. Nobody else in the house could eat it. And even if it wasn't bishalaka, meaning even if the chola just heated up something or made water. Water isn't bishalakam. Even if the guy heated up water, that doesn't make it bishalakam even during the week. But it's only mutter for the chola. It is not mutter for anyone else to benefit or to partake of that water or of that food, that chicken soup, or anything else of the sort. Only the chola. And in if chas v'shalom, it's the case of a chola sheyesh bo sakana, where technically then even a Jew could cook for him if necessary. Because to prevent pikuach, you know, for pikuach nefesh, but there too, if a guy would cook, there would be no isra bishalakam. It's not only because ain bo sakana and a Jew can't cook, so we waive bishalakam. You know, even if it's a cholish yesh bo sakana, if a guy cooked, there would be no problem with bishalakam. There'd be no bishalakam. Okay, one last halacha, if you'll bear with me, and that is that there's one form of cooking on Shabbos that's absolutely mutter, and that is cooking in the sun. Bishul b'chama, if you could take water or a raw egg or something and put it out in the hot sun and it would cook directly in the sun, you'd be allowed to do that on Shabbos. It's not even osamit rabbanan, it's mutter, and you're allowed to eat it. Now, but that means you can't take something that's already hot. You take it out in a pan or whatever it is that's not cold. Even though the pan also gets heated up in the sun, it's okay. What I mean is like this. If you have a hot pan that was heated up in the sun previously, and you crack an egg into it and it cooks the egg, that's asur midrabbanan. Because something which was heated up by the sun now cooks the egg, that's asur. But if the sun cooks the egg, even if it's heating up the pan and the egg at the same time, as long as it's happening right now, the pan is getting hot as the egg gets hot, and cooking from the sun, it's mutter. Now, so based on that, there's a shaila in the post. And what about a microwave, cooking in a microwave? Now, you can't cook in a microwave normally anyway because of the electricity. You can't use electricity on Shabbos. But leaving that aside, is cooking in a microwave called bishul d'oraisa, or is it not? And the nafkamina would be, if it's not, if you did have to have a goy cook for a chola, if cooking in a microwave is not bishul min haTorah, so then it would be better that the goy should cook in the microwave, because in the microwave, the electricity, according to many poskim, is only d'rabbanan, and the cooking in the microwave itself, if you hold it's not an issur Torah, so then it's better than having the goy cook on a fire. So this is a shaila. Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins that no, microwave cooking is d'oraisa. It's bishul d'oraisa, so you wouldn't gain anything. Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as saying that as well. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held differently. He held cooking in a microwave is not d'oraisa. And one last thing, a nafgamina might be, if you hold that food cooked in a microwave is not bishul d'oraisa, so you may not be able to take that food now on Shabbos. If it was cooked before Shabbos, and you cooked a piece of chicken, you boiled a piece of chicken in a microwave. So until now, we said you could put boiled chicken into hot soup because ain't bishlach bishul. But maybe that's only if the boiled chicken was boiled in a way that's called bishul min haTorah. If the chicken was boiled by a microwave, which is not bishul min haTorah, according to Shlomo Zalman and perhaps others, then maybe you're not allowed to put that into the hot soup now on Shabbos, because that would be a form of bishlach bishul, because it's like real bishul, achar microwave bishul, which is fake bishul for Shabbos purposes. Whereas according to Emotion, Rabbi Yashiv, probably would be okay because the microwave is also real bishul. Okay, just as something to leave, you know, as we're tying up the loose end, something just a question to leave you with, a thought to leave you with. Okay, so as I said, Bez Hashem, next week I'd like to move on to another topic in Hilchos Shabbos. Still try to stick within the, you know, practical things that are no gay in the food area and other areas, but practical. And for the time being, I wish you all a very good Shabbos. And thank you for listening. Take care.